وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله.
بسم الله, let's get started now.
Yes, sir. Who wants to go first? I think we were going to review. We were going to review first grade FIC. I think the new students were going.
No, we finished with the review of first grade FIC, and we started on outlining FIC. And the first section that we were doing the HIV. Of the people who have not just those who have memorized each section, you know, because the competency is based on the memorization of section by section. So let's go through outlining it, right? And let's do a little bit different, but just not take a long time for it. And we had been working towards getting to the section on business transactions so that we can start explaining each piece by piece. So let's recite up that section and then we just continue to explain business transactions. Go for it.
All right, inshallah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah for the Lord Supreme who's been so kind to the Muslimin, sending his son with Muhammad to teach. We study his actions in beautiful speech, Quranic in nature, the model of fiqh. So take from the Prophet whatever's legit. Butoba has plotted to sketch in our minds a model of fiqh in a graphic design. Imagining deeply our hearts with delight, and through outlining fiqh that a spark would ignite our mindset, our manners, our conduct intact, the laws of behavior and how we should act. Fiqh is divided in four major parts. Ibadah is drawn from the fiqh of the hearts, business transactions with all of its deals and family provisions, including the meals, legal procedures, offenses of law. Under these four titles, let everything fall. Put under Ibadah, the worshipping laws and the actions that stem from a slave to his lord, Aqidah, Tahara, preceding Salat, a janazah for all when the rich pays zakat, Siyam, I'tikaf, if you're spending the night in the Hajj for whoever can pay for the flight. At business transactions, red capital risk in the fiqh of a slave as he trades to exist. The fiqh of finance is a loftier term for the money we borrow and struggle to earn. Contracts and sharing if profits are made and the techniques to use in the practice of trade. Now buying is bayr in a general sense, but it's contracts and deals that make businessmen tense. No shady cash or partnerships that we can use in seeking risk. And if someone won't pay their debts, then Hajj is what we implement. The idea is a borrow source while gossip is to take by force. By its agreement, slaves are freed and will get blessings for good deeds. Al-Kafra called the public gifts, endowments, and or scholarships. Rasaya are the wills we leave, the ones we love are legacies. Farah it makes inheritance, the last show of beneficence. So those with taqwa seek to deal and only common seek to steal. Then family laws and rules will shape the fiqh of slaves along with mates. The structure has three parts, of course.
Laws and rights.
And family laws and rights will shape the fiqh of slaves along with mates. The structure has three parts, of course, marriage, provisional rights, divorce. Sadaq is paid before nikah, and hardship might just bring fula, talaqa for divorce. Sa'ila bihar, we must report. Li'anis won one after four, then idda count to end it all. With us, rida is still a must, since sadaqat, the nefaqat, just to be just, Al-Imantu's nutritious link set standards for all food and drink. So let the laws of hunting side, the biha slaughter rules be made. Before you think which spouse to pick, make sure you know the family fiqh. At legal procedures, we report the fiqh of a slave as he deals with the courts. The laws of jinayat apply in the hudud, the steps we should take when diyat is pursued. The aim in the sworn shahada is seen, qada is a judgment, tikrar is a plea. Jihad is a ruling a mufti must make, not any old scholar with normal mistakes, nor students familiar with basics in fiqh, but not yet Quran or the Arabic. If hadith, usul, and history still partially clouded in mysteries, refrain him from speech, for what can he teach to have little knowledge and teaches to cheat? Go back to the graph and the knowledge within. There are 38 chapters to finish, begin. Tahara takes a noble spot after Akita before Salat. 11 cleansing points in order. All of them begin with water. The vessels that...
Okay, now I want you to stop right there and let the next person recite the same introduction. Bismillah.
Who's next? I'll go next. Bismillah. Alhamdulillah, for the Lord Supreme has been so kind to the Muslimin, sending Islam with Muhammad to teach. We study his actions and beautiful speech, Quranic in nature, the model of fiqh, so take from the Prophet whatever's legit. Futoba has plotted to sketch in our minds a drawing of fiqh and a graphic design, imagining deeply our hearts with delight and through outlining fiqh that a spark would ignite our mindset, our manners, our conduct and act, the laws of behavior and how we should act. Fiqh is divided into four major parts. Ibadah is drawn from the fiqh of the hearts, business transactions with all its deals, then family provisions, including the meals, legal procedures, offenses of law, and under these titles make everything fall. But under ibadah, the worshipping laws and the actions that stem from the slave to his lord, aqidah, tahara, preceding salah, and janazas for all when the rich pays a cap, siyam, itikaf for spending the night, and a hajj for whoever can pay for the flight. A business transactions where a capital risk in the fiqh of the slave as he trades to exist, the fiqh of finances, a loftier term is the money we borrow and struggle to earn, contracts and sharing of profits are made, and the techniques to use in the practice of trade. Now, buying is bait or in the general sense, but it's contracts and deals that make businessmen intentional, shady cats, or partnerships that we can use or seek in risk. And when someone will pay their debt, then hajj is what we implement. The ideas of borrowed source will gossip is to take by force, by its agreement, slaves are freed, and we'll get blessings for good deeds. Al-Khawf are called the public gifts, endowments, and or scholarships. Messiah are the wills we leave, the ones we love, our legacies. Fura, it makes inheritance, the last show of beneficence. So those with taqwa seek to deal and only con men, cheat, and steal. Then family laws and rights will shade to the fickle slaves along with mates. This structure has three parts. Of course, there's marriage, provisional rights, divorce. Sadaq was paid before nikah, and hardship might just bring khalaq. Falaq when a divorce is sought, ila vihar, we should report. The iron we saw one after four, then idda come to end it all. For us, the result are still a must, and nefaf wants, just to be just. At Irma June's nutritious links, such standards for all food and drink. So let the laws of hunting side, the bihaslada rules be made before you think which false you'll pick. Make sure you know the family fiqh. At legal procedures, we report the fiqh of the slave as he deals with the courts, the laws of jinai to find the hudud, the steps that we take when the ad is pursued. The ayman is one, shahada is seen, khudah is a judgment, iqrar is a plea. Jihad is a ruling the mufti must make, not any old scholar with normal mistakes. Nor students familiar with the basics in fiqh, but not yet Quran or the Arabic. If hadith, usul, and history remains blurry, clouded, and mysteries, then refrain him from speech, for what can he teach to have little knowledge and teach is to cheat. Go back to the graph and the knowledge within. There are 38 chapters to finish, begin. Start with Akhidah to end in jihad, striving to live like a righteous ibad.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Barakallahu Feekum. Go ahead, Mr. Abu Sa'id.
I'm actually working right now and I might get a call, so I'm not going to be able to do it right
now.
No problem.
No problem. Okay, Mr. Baraka, you were supposed to go to first grade, Fiqh. Go ahead, please.
Yes, sir. From the beginning or from where I left off last time?
From the beginning, man.
Yes, sir. I gave my word with heart and head to praise Allah, so I dropped debts and blessings on the Prophet and respect the scholars which he had. All Muslims must study and pray to fight Shaitan in every way. I'll make mistakes along the way, repent to fight another day. So the first thing that I have to do, now that I'm mutawassil and accountable from this your day, my actions call on me to blame, is look to see what faith demands if I complied with its, commands, but do I think about Allah while it's correct and what's a flaw? The meaning of Shahada is the first thing we must know. There is no God for real that is except the one and only, the hopeful he created it and for them he provides. He manages affairs with theirs from high above the sky, too high I say, sublime as he is for partners or nadir. And this is what Shahada means, but let us make it clear. There are conditions tied to it to which we must adhere. There's knowledge and yaqeen and then acceptance, my sweet dear. Then inqiyadu, then there's sidq, ikhlasu, and mahabbah. Allah, we ask for help into admittance to Jannah. Then every Muslim must concur, Muhammad is the messenger sent by Allah, therefore we trust everything he said to us. We must obey his orders and respect the things he called haram. He brought the laws to an end complete. Not one detail did he delete. All sacred laws must come from him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then I have to learn the things I need to do, my fardu ayns, like regulations of salat, and just how much to pay the cab, the parts of hajj I have to do. It's Ramadan and I the flu, so I obligate all Muslims to learn the laws and what they mean. I sworn to do Allah's command and not to do one thing haram. So when I fail, I must repent before I get a punishment from up above Allah Most High before my soul is caused to die. My repentance will not be correct until I'm sad and feel regret for what I've done. And I intend not to do that sin again. And if still sinning, I must stop all sinful deeds right on the spot. And no, it's not halal to say, I will repent. Maybe one day for those who think like that will find a devil has possessed their mind. He plans to drop their soul in hell. Turn to Allah to break his spell. Say, astaghfir Allah, hawa atubu ilayh. 100 times in every day. Astaghfir Allah, hawa atubu ilayh. That's all the Muslim has to say. Uh-oh, better not rush in. Better think about Allah because there might be some jinn. Say, a'udhu billahi min al-khubthi wal-khaba'ith. I seek refuge in Allah from the dirty, nasty jinn. As babies, we were potty trained, so toilet rules should not be strange. Make dua and with the left step in, no reading, writing, texting in. Squat the way the Prophet taught, then water and the left is sought. Relieved and clean with thanks, we'll say Hufranak as we walk away. Say Bismillah and wash my hands once or twice or three times in. Wash my mouth and blow my nose and wash my face, that's how it goes. I wash my arms until they bend, then wipe my head and back again, then wash my ears inside and out, go up and down so there's no doubt. Then make sure that I wash my feet with ankles washed, wudu is complete. The niyyah is made before salah, clear in my head, made in my heart. Take three or two in the nafs haram, and we must try our best qiyam. Say alhamdulillah, and then ruku'ah, then rise again, we have to do. Twice on my face, and sit between, the shahid comes before taslim. With i'tidal and itma'in, and don't forget the right tartib. If we forget one part, that's all. The whole salah is null and void. There's two sajdas that I must make if I forget or make mistakes inside salah. When my mind strays, I lose. My focus slipped away. I'll prostrate and fall on my face before taslim in every case. Unless I do not remember it till after taslim render it. Either way, both are correct to mention that when I forget. I wake up and I have to pray two sunnahs to start the day. Before sunrise, Fajr is prayed. Afterwards, duha is claimed. It's istikhara on the spot. When I work those plans, I plot. And when the sun gets past midday, I'll offer duha without delay. Or jumu'ah, but that's once a week. Like Eid Salah is short and sweet. It hadn't rained in weeks and weeks. Prayed istikhara on my roof leaks. And also I'll be on 18, say both my dunya and my deen. I try to fix that leaky roof. The sun eclipse, I pray to khusuf. Mujahidun march by my house. In battle, pray salat will help. And pray toba when replied and said, when baddies hurt your heart and head, pray maghrib and stayed wide awake. So Aisha is not missed by mistake. Then stand at night, qiyam alay with witr and you'll never fail. Janazah will be much too late to offer prayers I didn't make. When doors in Jannah open wide and hell is locked, devils inside. When Sha'ban month strikes 29, the Muslims search the skies to find the Ramadan new moon's approach with taqwa, blessings, and good hope. So if they sight the moon, we fast. And if it's cloudy, 30 pass from Sha'ban before Ramadan, the month of fasting and Quran, the month we pray the Tarawih and wake up early if we sleep. The sunnah is to eat and drink a light suhoor for Fajr's break. Then from sunrise till it sets, we fast and leave all nourishment. It's what strong Muslims have to do, obligating me and you to intend the night before a day of fasting for your Lord. But for travelers and the sick, this obligation doesn't stick. And girls, when menses come your way, you must stop fasting right away. And those who make themselves throw up or sneak and eat, they should grow up. Because those are two dumb, dirty tricks that break a fast we'll have to fix. Allah don't need us not to eat if we still lie and act like creeps. When we fast, we're generous, we read Quran, and we don't rush. So when you're fasting, play it cool and don't respond to every fool. But if someone disturbs your vibe, I'm fasting twice is our reply. Remember not to sleep all day or talk a lot with too much play. Then soon as we can't see the sun from way up high, a fast is done. The devil loses and we win. Oh Allah, forgive our sin. The thirst is gone. The veins are wet. We hope that the reward is set like this. We pray before we eat. Then Bismillah to start the feast. First with dates or water if there are no dates to start it with. If no water, eat a sweet. But do not wait to start to eat. And if your fasting took a break from sickness or from travel sake, then make it up some other day. And if you can't, you gotta pay. When asked about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi from Allah named Ibrahim and Ismail, and only those we have to be like Adnan and his son Mubar and Fihran as a family star for every Fihran's Qurayshi, so all Quraysh must Fihran be. Ghalib ruled before Lu'ay and Ka'b spoke words that we still say. Murra was a household name that many noble people claim, like Kilab and his son Qusay, whose son Manaf had major say. So Hashim came and crumbled bread and gained respect from every head, and so did Abdul Muttalib. Bosheba was the name he gave. Then 100 camels Abdullah, the father of Rasulullah, the messenger Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Excellent. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. That's what I'm talking about. Alhamdulillah. You know, first grade fix should be, you know, easy that way. A second nature thing, a hickory dickory dock, a replacement of wasteful, non-beneficial knowledge. Because we've spent our childhoods in the West, or not even in the West, but just in the whole planet, where they taught us a whole bunch of childhood rhymes that have no benefit in our adult life or even in our, you know, in intellectual bank accounts. So to replace that with something like first grade fiqh, with all the things that you need to know as a beginner are to be found in that particular poem. Everything you need
before you turn 15 on basics, of basic fiqh. And if you know the meaning of every part of that, then your foundation is strong. Alhamdulillah. So I appreciate that you went back and memorized it strong. Okay, Ahmed Abdul Rashid, Bismillah, it's your turn.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. I gave my word with heart and head to praise Allah till I drop dead. Send blessings on the Prophet and respect the scholars. If he had, as a Muslim, I must study and pray to fight shaitan in every way. We'll make mistakes along the way. Repent to fight another day. The first thing that I have to do now that I'm mukallafun, accountable in every way, my actions call on me to blame, is look to see what faith demands. Have I complied with its commands? What do I think about Allah? What's correct and what's a flaw? The meaning of shahada is the first thing we must know. There is no God for real that is except the one and only. The khalqu, he created it, and for them he provides. He manages the affairs from high above the sky. Too high, I say, sublime is he for partners on nadir. And this is what shahada means, but let us make it clear. There are conditions tied to it to which we must adhere. There is knowledge, then yaqeen, then acceptance must be there. Then inqiyatu, then there is siddiq, ikhlasu, and muhabbah. Allah, we ask for help and to admit us into Jannah. Then every Muslim must concur. Muhammad is the messenger sent by Allah. Therefore, we trust everything he said to us. We must obey his orders and respect the things he called haram. He brought the laws full and complete. Not one detail did he delete. All secret laws must come from him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then I have to learn the things I need to do, my fardu ayns, like regulation of salah, just how much to pay zakat, the pass of hajj I have to do. It's Ramadan and I have the flu. This obligates all Muslimin to learn the laws and what they mean. I've sworn to do Allah's command and not to do one thing haram. So when I fail, I must repent before I get a punishment from up above Allah, Most High, before my soul is caused to die. Repentance will not be correct until I'm sad and feel regret for what I've done, and I intended not to do that sin again. And if still sinning, I must stop all sinful deeds right on the spot. And no, it's not halal to say I will repent maybe one day. For those who think like this will find a devil has possessed their mind. He plans to drop their souls in hell. Turn to Allah to break his spell. Say astaghfirullah wa atubu ilayhi 100 times and every day. Astaghfirullah wa atubu ilayhi. That's all a Muslim has to say. Better not rush in. Better think about Allah, cause there might be some jinn. Say a'udhu billahi min al-qubth wa qaba'ith. A secret refuge in Allah from the dirty nasty jinn. As babies were party trained, so toilet rolls should not seem strange. Make dua with the left step in. No reading, writing, texting in. Squat the way the Prophet taught. Then water in the left is sought. Relieved and cleaned with thanks, we say Qufranak as we walk away. Say Bismillah and wash my hands once or twice or three times. Wash my mouth and blow my nose, then wash my face. That's how it goes. I'll wash my arms until it bends. Then wipe my head and back again. Wash my ears inside and out, up and down till there's no doubt. Then make sure that I wash my feet with ankles wash, wudu's complete. The intentions made before salah, clear in my head, made in my heart, takbiratun in all's haram. And we must try our best qiyam, say hamdallah and then ruku. Then rise again and we have to do twice on my face and sit between tashahud comes before taslim. With i'tidal and itma'in, and don't forget the right tartib. And if we forget one fard, that's all, the whole salah is null and void. I'm up to this. I haven't yet memorized the next part.
Okay, the whole salah is null and void. Was that your accent, or that did you say void? Void. I couldn't understand that. Mr. Ahmed, I'm talking to you.
I think it's my accent, Sheikh. I can't say okay. It properly. Void. Is that
no. Void? It's understandable. No. I figured it was the accent. It's okay if it's just your accent. I just wanted to hear, make sure that was what you were saying and it wasn't something else. It's not a problem. Alhamdulillah.
Barakallahu Fikum. You have till next week to finish the whole poem as well, man. It doesn't take long. It's in English, right? It's in, well, English and Arabic and everything like that. And, you know, you have to pick up pace in memorization. We have to give more focus to this work. Go back to Mr. Tyler Boyd. Go ahead, do it, the chapter on Tahara, please. Bismillah.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Tahara takes a noble spot after Akida before Salat. 11 cleansing points in order. All of them begin with water. The vessels that we use to feed, taking care of private needs. Wudu with wiping on the shoe, the issues that undo wudu, the ghusl, and what takes its place at tayammum, wipe hands and face, miswak, good hygiene and good health, removal of najasa, filth, the menses, also called the haid, ends this chapter for the slave. With the iqama and adhan, we start the 6 specifics of salat. Conditions if we want to pray, the rules of what to do and say, 5 times a day we have to meet, plus Jum'ah, that comes once a week, those extra sajdas that we make when we forget or make mistakes. Janazah rites add up to 5, the noblest way to end our lives, matters at the dying breath, washing bodies after death, in simple cloth, the bodies wrapped in praying, sajdah less salat, the burial is where we'll end in life for newly dead begin. After standing for salat, then count 6 points to pay zakat, from wealth that we all have to take percentages to make it straight. Conditions that demand we pay, and wealth a year we don't delay. Percentages recipients to those who can't receive a cent. Siyam or fasting, even Psalm has 6 essentials to lay down. What obligates someone to fast, and what must be for it to pass? What are the sunnah things to do? What breaks the fast for me and you, the mustahaba benefit, and ways that fasting's illegit? The irtikaf has just 2 parts, so learn them well before you start. Conditions that will make your stay acceptable in every way, and things that will invalidate the irtikaf by your mistake. 11 points no one can dodge, traveling on the road to Hajj, preconditions that demand...
11 parts. 11 fard no one can dodge.
Ah, thank you. 11 fard no one can dodge, traveling on the road to Hajj, preconditions that demand compliance with the Hajj command. With starting points from all directions, muhrims put things on suspension. Arcana things we have to do, there's wajibat and sunan too. Rulings then go make tawaf and rush between the mountaintops. The Umrah with its own arcane, specific points for each Hajj plan. Continue.
No. I would like Mr. Fadri Oshiboti to go ahead.
Bismillah. Tahara takes a noble spot after Aqida before Salah. 11 cleansing points in order, all of them begin with water. The vessels that we use to feed, taking care of private needs, wudu, then wiping on the shoes, the issues that undo wudu. The ghusl and what takes its place, a tayammum on hands and face, miswak, good hygiene and good health, removal of najasa filth. The menses, also called the haid, ends this chapter for the slave. With Iqama and Adhan, we start the 6 specifics of Salah. Conditions if you want to pray, the rules of what to do and say. 5 times a day we have to meet, plus Juma that comes once a week, plus extra sajdas that we make if we forget or make mistakes. The Nazarites add up to 5, the noblest way to end our lives. The man is at the dying breath, washing bodies after death. In simple cloth, the body wrapped in praying sajdah is Salah. Burial is where we'll end in life for newly dead beginning. After standing for Salah, then count 6 points to pay zakah, from wealth that we all have to take percentages to make it straight. Conditions that demand we pay, and wealth a year we don't delay, percentages recipients to those who can't receive a cent. Siyam or fasting, even Saum, has 6 essentials to lay down, what obligates someone to fast and what must be for it to pass. What are the sunnah things to do, what breaks the fast for me and you, the mustahaba benefit, and ways that fasting's illegit. The i'tikaf has just 2 parts, so learn them well before you start. Things that will make your stay acceptable in every way, and things that will invalidate the i'tikaf by your mistake. 11 fard, no one can dodge, traveling down the road to Hajj with preconditions that demand compliance with the Hajj command. With starting points in all directions, muhrims put things on suspension. Arcana things we have to do, there's wajibat and sunnah too. Rulings then go make the waf and rush between the mountaintops. The umrah with its own arcane specific rules for each Hajj plan.
Okay, Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Mr. Taliboyd, continue.
Yes, sir. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Al-Bay'u means to buy and sell, and business transactions have rules as well. 10 specifics are defined conditions we must bear in mind. Options, interest, roots, and fruit, because bad transactions don't compute. Advance payments we pawn and make, collateral debt with loans we take. Our words, our bonds, we're bound to keep. A debt transfer when ends don't meet. Patents, copy, residual rights all help merchants sleep at night. The sharikat or company, a legal business entity of two or more in partnership, looking for a profit split. The sharikat turned into four, the types of partnership in store, sharecropping, ijara, rent, musabaka, and not a bet. Al-hajr means to intercede, protecting rights of those in need. Two concepts spring from this deed and make it easy to proceed. The ahkam that al-hajr need, wakalatu, legalities. The ariya is a borrowed tool or something we're allowed to use. There are two parts to show concern, both borrower and lender learn. The ariya is not legit unless conditions for it fit, and one of them is liable, since damages are probable. To take by force something you like or use something you have no rights, or not to give rights is ghasbun. If we only knew the seven ways the law has found, the ghasib should be legal bound. Liability to maqsub is due from ghasib when they take from you. Shufa, a preemptive right to block a sale that we would like. We take wadi'a as a trust, but safekeeping is still a must. Squatters claim land looking dead, and thus have rights for overhead. Du'ala, all the wages set to be paid before the sweat dries, and things of value lost are found by luqata, of course. The child supportless in the street is due protection of luqit. Simple rights we take by force and leave the world with no recourse but to deprave into a sea of thoughtless inhumanity. Islamically declaring it to free a slave or manumit has three conditions to submit, has three specifics to submit, or freedom will not be legit. Who's authorized to authorize the way that it can actualize? No baby mama's right reject, her freedom must be shown respect. The waqfun is a charity, a gift for all humanity. Endowment is the general term with two presenting styles to learn, the general waqf for all to use, and hiba, gifts we don't refuse. Wasaya, simply put, our wills the dead declare they want fulfilled from one third, or a compromise regarding wills, consider five, the necessary elements determining which rulings meant and points annulled, invalidate the normal language in that state. The wealth of wills is not decreed from wealth assigned to charity. Half, one-fourth, an eighth, two-thirds, one-third, one-sixth inheritors, each assigned a righteous piece of wealth abandoned by deceased. On 7 points, parah and base, utilize each in every case, the rights and order of the earth, then causes of inheritance. Preventive points, if they exist, prohibit some of this type of risk. List the male and then female inheritors in full detail, no shareholders, and use the rule of of hajib to know who blocks who. Finished.
Okay. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. We see that everybody can go back and review and get stronger at this particular poem, because again, if you leave it alone, it can get lost. That doesn't really hurt too bad, because once you go over it and you know the meanings of everything, you still have the benefit of the poem. So let's go now to the beginning of business transactions and start breaking it down again, you know, piece by piece, and knock it out. What chapter were we on?
We were on chapter 16 of A Summary of Islamic Jurisprudence, volume 2.
Yeah, we were there. What do you call it? What page was that? I'm sorry.
This was page number 83 of the book. Page 100 of the PDF.
Second, let me pull that up. I pulled up the wrong thing. One second, please. I'm just trying to pull up the fifth chapter. Okay, you said we were on a chapter on Islamic
teaching. Wakala.
And Mlachas al-Fiqhiyah, is that what you're talking about?
Yes, sir.
Okay, page 85. Go ahead, please.
Okay. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Commissioning. Wakala.
I'm sorry. I just pulled out the Arabic one. I have to pull up the English one. Hold on. Give me one second.
Okay.
I pulled up the Arabic one. What's the one in English called? Summary of this. Okay, thank you. I got it.
Okay.
Page 80. Go ahead.
Now, in Islamic terminology, wakala, commissioning, refers to the act in which a legally accountable person appoints another legally accountable person to act on his behalf in a certain matter in which such authorization is permissible. Commissioning is permissible according to the Holy Quran, the Sunnah, prophetic tradition, and the consensus of Muslim scholars. Allah, exalted be He, says what may mean. So send one of you with this silver coin of yours to the city. Surah Al-Kahf, Ayah 19. And He says what may mean. Yusuf said, appoint me over the storehouses of the land. Quran, Surah Yusuf, Ayah 55. And He also says, Subhanahu wa ta'ala, what may mean. And for those employed to collect zakat. Quran, Surah At-Tawbah, Ayah 60. Moreover, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam authorized Urwa ibn Ja'ad to buy a ewe, authorized Abu Rafi' to perform the marriage contract on his behalf with Maymuna, and used to send his men to collect zakat. In addition, Al-Muwaffaq and other scholars maintain that there is a consensus on the permissibility of commissioning. The wisdom behind this permissibility is that people's needs necessitate the legality of commissioning, since not every person can do himself whatever he needs. What is required in order to make commissioning valid and confirmed? Commissioning is confirmed by any statement that indicates permission for it. For example, do so-and-so, or I permit you to do so-and-so. It's permissible to accept commissioning instantaneously or defer it. This is due to the fact that the Prophet's representatives deferred their acceptance when he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, commissioned them. Furthermore, commissioning can be timed or conditioned. For example, the authorizer may say to the representative, you will be my representative for 1 month. Or, when the lease period of my house expires, you can sell it. The authorizer must delegate a particular person, so commissioning becomes void if the authorizer says, I authorize any one of these two people to be my representative. Also, commissioning becomes void if the authorizer appoints someone who he does not know. Matters in which commissioning is permissible. It's permissible for a person to commission another in matters in which representation is permitted, such as concluding or canceling all kinds of contracts. To clarify, selling, buying, renting, lending loans, and speculating are examples of concluding transactions, while divorce, kulak, the wife's release for payment, emancipation, and cancellation of the sale are examples of canceling the transactions. Commissioning is also permissible in the matters relating to Allah's rights, some acts of worship, in which authorization on behalf of someone is permissible. This is like the distribution of zakat and charity, fulfillment of vows, expiation, and performing Hajj and Umrah.
The performing of Hajj and Umrah is with condition. Okay, so that's not just an outright. So the performing of Hajj and Umrah, just make a note in your minds there that the person cannot just go perform Hajj for you or Umrah for you. You have to have, the person has to have an udhr, an excuse, a reason that denounces or keeps him from performing Hajj. Okay, in a reasonable amount of time or something like that, to the point where he says, okay, well, now you can go do it on my behalf. Does that make sense?
Yes, sir.
So let's give me an example if it makes sense. Somebody give me an example where someone can authorize someone else with kalatan to niyabatan on his behalf and representing him to go make Hajj. What for?
If a person invalid.
Please give a longer answer, please.
My example would be a person was just diagnosed with stage 4 cancer, had the money, and he intended to go, but he got diagnosed with it. So he was delegating someone else to perform it on his behalf.
So if he had an ongoing medical condition that prevented him from traveling, right? That made it unreasonable for him to travel, and this is an ongoing thing that did that, then he can authorize someone else to do it. Or like you said, let's say he was negligent his whole life, and then he found out that he had cancer, and so, or not just negligent, he had no opportunity before that time, and then he finds out that he has some type of debilitating disease that doesn't allow him to travel and might cause him to pass away, then he can delegate someone else. Okay? Anybody else got a reason? Okay, so another reason could be, let's say the person is in the United States and they don't have a passport, and they have legal issues that won't allow that person to travel. Like sometimes you have people who have had debilitating divorces, whereas the court... Turn off your computer, please, Mr. Not computer, your microphone, Mr. Tyler Boyd. Thank you. Sometimes when people go through divorces, the court demands that person's passport, okay, because, you're not paying child support and this type of thing. And so they take that person's passport, and now that person may have a bill, a fine that is so crazy that they cannot travel. It doesn't look like they're ever going to be able to travel. They can pay for someone to go and perform Hajj on their behalf. Likewise, someone who is imprisoned, okay, and then they came into the money and they have a long sentence and they're an adult and they may not feel that they can make it out of the prison, or it's 10 years or some long period of time like that, they can also authorize someone to go perform Hajj on their behalf. But a regular person who has the money to go and perform the Hajj, and he is healthy, and he has the legal documentation to travel, she cannot have someone perform Hajj on his or her behalf. Does that make sense? Hajj or Umrah?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay. Continue to read, please.
And performing Hajj and Umrah, that's the pilgrimage, according to the related authentic proofs in this regard. However, designating a representative is not permissible in the matters relating to individual acts of worship, in which authorization on behalf of someone else is not permissible, such as performing prayer, fasting, and the purification of major and minor ritual impurities. since these acts of worship are to be observed by the legally accountable person himself. In addition, commissioning is permissible in investigating and executing the prescribed punishments. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, what may mean, O Unais, go to the wife of this man, and if she confesses that she has committed adultery, then stone her to death. Compiled by Al-Bukhari and Muslim. The authorized
Wagdu ya Unais ila mra'ati hadha. Yani wagdu, yani arrive in the morning, like go quickly and get there by the morning. You know, make the first thing you do in the morning, Unais. That's the beginning part of it. Go ahead. The point is still the same. Farjumha, if she is at Tarafat. Go ahead.
The authorized commissioned person has no right to designate another representative to act on his behalf, except in the following matters. First, when the authorizer
let's establish the general rule and really pay attention to that. And then let's look at the conditions. The general rule is that if you are authorized, you are not allowed to pass that on to someone else. This is a major issue people have. I think a lot of people do this erroneously, just pass the responsibility on to someone else. And the other person wasn't entrusted with that particular thing. And it seems to be a cause of major confusion and the lack of things getting done properly. But it is allowed in four situations. Go under four conditions. Go ahead, please.
Now, first, when the authorizer permits the authorized person to do so by saying something like, you can designate a representative to act on your behalf if you like, or do as you like. Second, if the designated act is not to be carried out by the authorized person, as he is an honorable person who is far above doing such an act. Third, if the authorized person is unable to carry out the designated work. Fourth, when the authorized person cannot do the designated work properly.
Okay, in the fourth situation, and the first situation is very, very clear. When the person gives the other one, when the designator says, get it done, you know, whoever you need to get it done, or do as you like, then of course that person can go and get someone else to go do it, as long as he makes sure it's done. Let's say in the issue of Hajj or paying Zakat, he can say, here, take this money and go make Hajj. You know, designate someone else to go do it and do it on behalf of so-and-so. Slaughter this on animal on behalf of this, that, and the other thing. The fourth one is when the authorized person cannot do the designated work properly. Let's say he's the personal assistant of the first person, or just his assistant in general, and he's given assignments to take care of. Of course, in this particular case, he can get the person who can do the job the best, especially if he can't do it, to do the job. Because, again, it's understood by the one who told him to do it that he can get someone else to do it. As for the second and third one, this fihi nadhar. In this, it takes some type of you have to look into the issue. Say, for example, it says if the designated act is not to be carried out by the authorized person, as he is an honorable person who is far above doing such an act. Okay, this shouldn't be confused with him being told to do something haram, because if he's told to do something haram, he shouldn't do it in the first place. But this is something like, let's say the person who is authorized to make these decisions, again, is told to do something, let's say, like go slaughter a particular animal or something like that. And he is not dressed for it, not too busy for it, because he's running around doing the other administrative affairs. It's not expected that he was actually told to go and actually slaughter, chop up the animal, cook the meal, and this type of thing. But he's supposed to get it done. And that still falls under the first one, okay? Or the fourth one. And third, if the authorized person is unable to carry out the design, the designated work, this is the same thing as the number fourth one, is that he cannot do it, you know, do it properly, okay? And he could then say, let's say it's like some lawyerly work or some type of something in that regard, then he can go and tell, it still has to be done with the knowledge of the designated, I'm sorry, the person who authorized him, that, okay, I'm not able to do this, but he's supposed to supervise and make sure he gets it done. Okay, at the end of it, it's still his responsibility to make sure it's done. If he doesn't do it or she doesn't do it herself, they have to make sure and supervise to make sure it's done. Does that make sense, everyone?
Yes, sir.
Okay, continue to read.
In the aforementioned four cases, it is impermissible for the authorized person to designate anyone except a trustworthy representative. Commissioning is permissible for both the authorizer and the authorized person, as it is considered permission given by the authorizer and a service rendered by the representative. But both are not obligatory. Each of the authorizer and the authorized person is permitted to cancel commissioning at any time he desires.
Okay, so let's say the person who has given the person the authority to do this particular act on his behalf, he can cancel it. All right, forget that. Don't do that act anymore. The person who was authorized to do it can say, you know what, I'm not doing this. Again, but there has to be an alan. There has to be a clarification by the person who has been commissioned. He can't just stop doing the work and disappear, or just not do it and just, you know, ignore the order. No, if he's not going to do it, he has to, or not complete it, he has to go back to the original, you know, person who ordered him and say, I'm not doing it. Okay, does that make sense, everyone?
Yes, sir.
Why does he have to do that kind of thing?
Well, because he gave his word to the commissioner that he was going to do something, or at least he made it understood to him that he was going to do something. So if he just doesn't do it, or if he disappears, then this is like betrayal or lying.
Exactly. Haram. Because the Muslim does not, the Muslim's word is his bond. Simple as that. I mean, it's simple. Thing. The Muslim is mu'min, okay? The believer is to be believed. The believer is to be trusted. The Muslim's word is his bond, okay? The Muslim does not disappoint the person who he has given his word to. You know, and we do it, inshallah, which is supposed to mean that we do it or die, okay? Or fail because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decreed it and we did everything within our human ability, which would be expected from a person in our position to fulfill what we said reasonably. Okay? And this is, I'm saying this and I feel very, you know, I feel like I'm being like a little foolish because this should be second nature. Wallahi, in my childhood, this was second nature to all the kuffar, at least in New York. It was a given that anyone that gave you his word, their word was their bond. You know? But now it's become a thing where people, we're talking about Muslims only now, have no more trust. And inshallah means no, I just don't want to say no to your face right this moment. Will you be there? Inshallah. Like, shut up, don't ask me no more. I said, inshallah, you know I ain't going to do it. And if I don't do it, I'm just going to say, well, inshallah, I said, inshallah. And this should not be the case with the Muslims. Islam demands wafa, honesty, and forthrightness. If you're not going to do it, and you don't intend to do it, then say it up front. Continue.
Now, matters nullifying commissioning. Commissioning is nullified by cancellation, death, or absolute madness with regard to either of the parties. This is because commissioning depends on the life and sanity of both parties. So when one party lacks either of them, it becomes invalid. Commissioning also becomes invalid if the authorizer discharges the authorized person, or when either of them is interdicted of his legal capacity due to his foolishness, since he then lacks the authority of disposition. When commissioning becomes permissible.
Okay, so let's talk about this for a second, because sometimes people, you know, in the Sharia, many years ago, when I first started reading, and the entrance of insanity, madness was entered into these rulings. And I was too young and immature at that time, not immature, but just young and experienced to understand, well, you know, what are they talking about? Does a person go insane? Are people that crazy? You know, does this happen and then end? And the actual answer is yes. You know, it does happen this way. And part of the reason for insanity here is sickness. Okay. And it happens a lot more now than what it was when I was younger. So, or at least I'm noticing it more now. Also, people taking drugs, which causes them to become insane, you know, even if that's temporarily. There's insanity through just anger, you know, where people literally lose their sense of sanity, okay? And it could be temporary. So I don't fall into the thing that I fell into, thinking that this is just something they're saying. It has no real bearing on reality. It does. Okay. And there are some people who are and should be considered legally, at least Islamically, insane. And their word and their activities shouldn't, they should not be commissioned because they are not sane. And we see people like this all the time in the masajid. And they are, you know, madness is a state of a person, you know, just, you know, argumentative, making no sense in their argument, going around in what we would call, let's call circular, you know, not linear thought, but circular thought. Does anybody understand what circular thought as opposed to linear thought is? Okay, so go ahead, someone.
Believe it. Okay, so circular thought is just going in circles. You're not getting, not making any point. Just going back.
You can't answer. You can't give the answer with the same question. You have to give more clarity. Next person.
It's repetitive conversation that can be incongruent with resolving the issue at hand by any means, not just a difference of opinion, but literally giving repetitive speech, answers, or discussion that contradicts sometimes even themselves and definitely controverts the issue at hand.
No, it's circular thought is, I like to define it like this, as opposed to linear thought. The person goes from problem awareness, I have a problem. Then they announce the problem. They argue about why they have a problem, and it, which, like she said, has nothing to do with solving it. The point is with circular thought, they go from problem awareness, announcement, but never to problem assessment and modes of problem solving. They never go there. They just go back to problem announcement, awareness. I have a problem. And so just that's what goes the circle right there, Abu Saeed. You know, the awareness of I have a problem. This is a stinking problem. I hate this problem. Why do back to I have a problem. So you will find a lot of people are stuck in this type of insanity. They're not certified by the government, or they shouldn't be in a funny farm, but they are not sane, nor are they trustworthy for you to give a responsibility, even though in some instances they can have sane conversations. But the moment they are faced with a problem, it gets out of hand quick. Okay? You can't trust them because it's going to blow up, because they cannot handle. They're too foolish. That's why I like this term here. Their foolishness doesn't allow them to solve problems in a sane fashion. It'll wind up with a big argument with someone in a masjid. It might even wind up in a physical altercation. It'll get out of hand when it didn't need to get out of hand. All types of crazy stuff will happen. So as a point to point out here in this particular phase in our discussion, I would like us to start to notice this about particular people. Okay? Just try this next week to see if you can identify people stuck in circular thought. Hence, they are foolish. Okay? And so just so you can not feel better than anybody else, but to become aware. Because when you become aware of this type of what would we call this type of what would you call this, Dr. Maisha? This type psychosis, you know,
not really psychosis.
Sorry.
Okay, you're asking me, Dr. Maisha. Yeah? So, as a doctor, that does not meet the definition of psychosis.
What would you call it?
We don't have a good name for that. That's like mood disorder, NOS. It's a mood instability or else a personality disorder. You see it in borderlines, antisocials. You might see it in schizoaffective. Some of your bipolar twos are going to have this problem. They have like some other main diagnosis, and this is a symptom of that diagnosis.
Okay, so we're going to call it a disorder then.
Yeah, that's the best way to call it, because you're correct when you said that we don't. I wish we could, like, I really wish we had a correct title for it in Western medicine, because it's quite common, to be honest.
Nah, this is what I'm, and you know, Ibn Taymiyyah and other, and Ibn al-Qayyim al-Jawzi and other scholars, they spoke about this during their times, saying how many people were affected with this type of insanity. And I said, if this is the case with them during their time, and we've gotten worse, you know, so again, try to identify it, this particular disorder. And one of the things about it is to solve it is the dhikr Allah. One of the best ways to solve this is dhikrullah. Ala bi dhikrillahi tatma'innul qulub. Calmness, tranquility. You know, this helps resolve the blow up. It may not solve the issue for the person himself, but you know, the calmness of the situation can be alleviated with the remembrance of Allah. And the other thing can relieve this is when you gain trust with these people, so that they don't feel threatened when approached. Okay, when approached. Because like she said, a lot of times it's a social disorder as well. You know, dealing with others. All right. Continue, please.
It's also common in trauma. And most of us are now having some even mild form of PTSD, because even just watching trauma or the trauma of others can be traumatizing. And this is a big, big, you're going to see this a lot in war veterans, certain professions that deal a lot with trauma are going to have this problem. And then they may even be fine when they're doing the profession, but later they're going to have it.
And no, I agree with you. I agree. I think that I really believe that majority of these people, if not all of them, are victims of some type of psychological event or some type of traumatic event that they witnessed or which is experiencing. That's why someone witnessing a trauma is traumatized, because witnessing is experiencing, you know. So this is why it's very important what you allow your children to watch at a young age, when especially then they cannot determine reality from falsehood. Sorry, Abu Sayyid.
Oh, sorry. Sorry, I was supposed to be on mute.
Okay. So it's very important for us as people to protect ourselves and our wives and children from, because I believe that men can absorb a greater level of traumatic witnessing than women and children. I'm not saying that they're not affected by it, but I think the absorption level is greater. And I say that because Allah has authorized men to go fight wars and to be in traumatic situations, and He has not authorized women or children to do that. So I think that part of our responsibility as men, real men, not males, is to set up communities and systems that protect our women and children from being exposed to the type of trauma that we may have to be exposed to in order to protect them. So I think that, again, I don't want to get too far off because I want to finish this, you know, I think, but because that was mentioned, I think that it's important in our fiqh that we understand the, what do you call it, the reality of insanity in our community and start to identify it in a way that is practical for application. And the purposes of this chapter is when authorizing someone, understanding how that person, if that person is, could become habitually foolish and why that is the case. And if you can see that in your loved ones and or in yourself, what you can do to identify it and to try to solve it. Please continue when commissioning becomes permissible. Bismillah.
MashaAllah, this has been a really valuable discussion, I have to say. And I wish we could talk more about it, but you're right, we have to continue. Bismillah. When commissioning becomes permissible, whoever has the authority to dispose of something can authorize or be authorized in regard to this same thing. However, whoever has no legal authority to dispose of something, his representative has not the authority to dispose of the same thing. With greater reason, a representative who is authorized for buying and selling is not permitted to sell or buy from himself, as the customs necessitate that a person sells and buys from others, not from himself, lest he should be suspected. Likewise, he is not permitted to sell or buy from his son, father, wife, or those whose testimony in his favor is to be rejected, because there is suspicion of favoritism and partiality due to family relations.
Okay, so here, you know, again, the bottom line in all business transactions is the avoidance of deception. Okay? This is the rule for all business transactions. The thing that is to be protected, the people are protected from, what we're to look out from, is deception, dishonesty. And if we, you know, one person was talking to me this last week during the Eid, and they were talking about the Nation of Islam, the Noble Drew Ali movement, the 5 percenter movement, and the new Muwahhid Muhammad movement. It was saying, oh, these guys were all deviants. They were talking bad about them and saying, how come you, Sheikh, don't go out and speak greatly against these groups? They were not on Tawheed and da, 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 da. And I say that all three of those groups, or four of those groups, all of them, they did more for the American community than the Salafi da'wah has done. Okay? Oh, you must be out your mind. What are you talking about? They didn't have Tawheed. It didn't say they had Tawheed. What they had was the objective of Islam. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, إِنَّمَا بُعِثْتُ تُو أُتِمُّ أَخْلَاقَكُمْ. I'm going from Arabic to English, you know. The purpose, the only reason I have been sent is to complete and perfect your character. I lived through those groups, okay? And I saw the promotion, the demand, the building of character in all those groups, more so than I have seen in the people who claim to be Salafi. Now, from a technical perspective, of course, the Salafi claim is going to be better because the people offered Salah. So from that perspective, it's much better, Deen. But from the perspective on a social and a personal level, you have a bunch of lying, good-for-nothing son of a guns claiming to be super Salafi on the Sunnah Muslim. But from those other groups, it was rare to find one liar. It was rare for any one of them to break their word. It was the cultural demand that people had character and that they didn't cheat and play games. Why do you think that is, guys? You get my point? I know this is a side issue. I'm not really looking for an answer, but I want you to, if you were too young to be from that era, to review and reflect on that era. Of course, it didn't last because there was no real Tawheed, but so did the Salafi trash. It's not lasting because it didn't have any Tawheed either. Okay, it didn't have the acceptance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the core of people. That's why they have so much bad character. That's why they're cheating and stealing and being cum freaks and marrying people's daughters and trashing them. And the daughters ain't worth 2 cents neither, because there's no character in these individuals. And Islam is designed to bring out the best character. So if it's not happening, then they're not practicing Islam. Because in every aspect of Islam is good character. In every aspect of business transactions, there is the demand of honesty and the presentation of forthrightness and accountability and, you know, what we say, what's the word I want? Apparency? You know, what's the word I'm looking for? Transparency. Thank you. Transparency of action. And not gain. Even now, people are using the deen. Muslims are using the deen to take advantage of people. This is Islam. We're going to say this is better because the word Salafi is good to say that we're following the Salaf, which again, it becomes another whole issue of problematic issue because it starts a new name that we shouldn't have. The name we're supposed to have is what's the name we're supposed to call to? As what is the name we're supposed to call to?
Muslim.
That's our title. We need no other title. The entrance of any other title besides two, let's say Mu'min and Muhsin, because those are the only two other titles that even can be considered. And even those two titles, Mu'min and Muhsin, were never given to anybody in it's just like the general understanding is that we are Mu'min. Okay? No one was claimed to be a Muhsin. But it was the high ideal that everyone would strive for. No one could even claim it. Okay? And in general, everyone is claiming. Now, this is the righteous claim, meaning the proper claim, is to claim to be Muslim. So if we claim anything else, you are automatically incorrect. Even if it's the term Salafi. We find people nowadays still sticking to this, oh, that what the Salafi is. There is no such thing in Islam. Allah's Messenger never gave a claim, you should call to this type of thing. And we are still stuck on stupid on these types of ideas because we are so immature, we can't have an intellectual Islamic conversation as to what we're supposed to do. And the bottom line is what we're finding in this particular chapter is because there's a lack of honesty. Okay? Common sense honesty. A representative, a person cannot authorize somebody to do something he has no authority to do. Okay? If he has no legal authority to take my things, he can't give my things to someone else and sell them and authorize them to sell them. Okay? I can't take this responsibility from a business perspective from someone, let's say, like, you know, Abu Sa'id is a businessman. So he authorizes me to sell his seaweed. And I take it and I sell it to my wife in some funny transaction, and then she doesn't give me the money because she owes me something over there. And then it's like, yo, where's his money? How did this transaction take place? What type of game is going on here? You guys get my point?
Yes, sir.
So there has to be transparency. There has to be honesty. And there won't be transparency when there's no sincerity. There won't be transparency when there's no feelings of accountability. And so what has happened is Muslims nowadays in the West, is all I'm talking about is the Western Muslims. We now feel because we're not living in a country where there is an Islamic authority to take you to jail or beat you or apply the hudud, I can lie to you and tell you just about anything, and you're not going to do anything about it because you don't have authority to hold me to account. And so this is what we have, and this destroys the trust of Muslims amongst each other and in the community. The answer is a return to sincerity, a changing of intentions. An honest relook at why are we part of this thing that they call Islam? And what does Islam actually demand of me? And am I willing to fulfill the conditions of a Muslim? Many years ago, I was a student of Imam Sheikh Bilal Phillips. A very underrated sheikh, perhaps one of the greatest shuyukh from the 80s up until this present time. Definitely one of the first sheikhs to be born in the West and convert to Islam from the West. And he was asked, I forget what the exact question was, but the answer to the question, I haven't forgotten. It was how to be a good Muslim. That's what the question was. Ya Sheikh, how can I be a good Muslim? And Bilal Phillips, he said, very simply, first be a Muslim. And he laid it down. Understand the basic Shahada. He didn't say all this different stuff. Know this about the Bahari. Know this, that, and the other thing. And this. No. Know the meaning of La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. Two, offer salah. And he was saying, like, offer salah. And then, if you can, then offer salah in the masjid. Offer salah every day, on time. And if you can, in the masjid. I thought he was soft with that answer. But that's only because I grew up in Brooklyn. And I lived in Missouri at the time. At that time, the masjid is always close. But as I've lived, I can see that sometimes people don't live in Islamic communities. Maybe the masjid is far away. And it's not realistic for the person to be able to go to the masjid five times a day because of the distance. And they're not obliged to. Okay, but I didn't understand it at the time. Then he said, make money. Allah wants you to be rich. So you can pay zakah. Not give sadaqah. Pay zakah. Save your money. Stop buying new things. Once you have what your needs are, it is illegal for you to buy and continue to buy new things if you haven't performed Umrah or Hajj. You can't get a new car. You can't fix that new room. You can't even paint it because of the obligation to fulfill the foundational issues of what it means to be a Muslim. And the people's response to his statements was, you know, like, come on, tell us, really, how do we be a good Muslim? It wasn't good, the answer wasn't good enough. We know that stuff. Give us something more. But we haven't even done the basics. And that's where we're at today. You know, because everybody wants something so cute. It's something different. We've left off basic knowledge. And the basic knowledge of the deen begins with sincerity. Okay? Sincerity. So if we could work on that particular issue, we would go further than those Afrocentric pseudo-Islamic groups did. And they went far. Because in reality, the Islam of everyone in the West, white, black, blue, purple, is standing on the shoulders of those Afrocentric cults that had pseudo-Islam. Because they paved the steps that we were taking that took us all to proper Islam today. So, you know, that's my stance with regards to those groups. And so you don't piss on the people that you're standing on their shoulders. You don't disrespect them. Most of us have kafir parents. And our parents raised us well with character, the objective of Islam. We don't go around and turn around and spit on our parents and say what dirty, nasty bastards our parents were because they're not Muslim. They may not be Muslim, but they taught us the good character and the common sense. A lot of us whose parents are Muslim, or I mean not Muslim, whose parents were not Muslim, that helped us to become Muslim. Is that not fair to say?
Yes, sir.
Because early on, back when all that was happening, Yasha, one of the first advice someone gave me in the so-called Salafi community was disobey my mother because she's a kafir. A'udhu billah. This was the advice they gave me at the time. I was young. A'udhu billah.
Yeah, I mean, this was the ignorance that we came from.
Yeah, my sheikh, he said, yeah, astaghfirullah, how could they even tell you that? Because your mother raised a Muslim.
Yeah, but see, you know, this is, again, if we go back to sincerity, then there's no way, you know, that you can find an Islamic reason to disrespect your parents. It goes back to, I say sincerity, I kept skipping knowledge. Somebody might have thought, well, why didn't I say knowledge? Because it doesn't start with knowledge. It starts with intention. Okay? And the intention has to be sincere. That's why I said that we're standing on the shoulders of those pseudo-Islamic Afrocentric groups. Because those people, they didn't know Islam. They didn't even have access to Islam, a lot of them. Okay? But there was a sincere desire to get up from under oppression. It was a sincere desire to learn, you know? And so that sincerity is what drove them to accomplish the communal events and the communal growth that they came. Now, the lack of knowledge of Islam didn't allow it to go far, because the complicated thing about Islam is its simplicity. Let me say that again. The complicated thing about the practice of Islam is its simplicity. Islam will only work. All the things you read in the Quran about community and about success will only work when you do it Islamically. If you mix it with anything else, it will not work. That's the trick of Islam. Okay, that's why we have so many issues nowadays on the whole planet, because every group has mixed it with either nationality or, and not that you don't take customs into consideration, but we've mixed it without the filter of Islam. And so these other things are not part of Islam. And Allah has said, in Allah, tayyib, Allah is pure and wholesome. It doesn't accept anything except that is pure and wholesome. Our pure and wholesomeness, as Allah's messenger told us, is the heart. He doesn't look at our bodies, our shapes. He looks at our hearts. Allah, in every juz of the Quran, talks about the hearts, begins the Quran with explaining the types of hearts. It's all about the hearts. Allah says he's talking to the heart, not to your brain, but to the hearts. Okay? So if we can get that part down, the sincerity, everything else will fall into place. And this is why in the past, when they wanted to teach business transactions, they first started with the chapter of Zuhud. Okay? It started with Zuhud, which is sincerity and honestly just focusing on Allah. Because if you understood that, you would understand economics. I know I took much more time than I expected to take on this side issue, because it's really not a side issue. It's a fundamental issue of business transactions. Transparency, honesty, okay, and the avoidance of deception. I'm going to read it real quick. No, Mr. Tyler Boyd, just read it right quick so we can end the class right now, please. Bismillah. Actions related to the authorizer and the authorized person. Bismillah.
Bismillah. The authorizer must fulfill some legal commitments with regard to transactions, such as delivering the price, receiving the purchased article, canceling transactions for defects, asking for his rights, and guaranteeing the rights of the other party.
Again, stop. Just again, you see that? All that demands sincerity. Continue.
Yes. As for the authorized person who is authorized for selling, he may deliver the purchased article, but he is not permitted to receive the price without the permission of his authorizer, or at least a situation indicating his permission. For example, the authorized person may receive the price if he sells the article in a store, where the price may be lost if he does not receive it. An authorized person who is authorized for buying may deliver the due price to complete the transaction. However, the person authorized for selling, for settling a dispute, is not permitted to receive the price. But the person authorized for receiving the price is permitted to settle the dispute, as it is the only way to receive the price.
Meaning this, that if somebody, a mediator, is not allowed to get paid in this regard, okay? He's not allowed to get the money. The mediator is not supposed to have any fiduciary concerns, okay? As far as the person authorized to receive the price, of course, he is received the money. He is authorized to finagle and to mediate with whoever he's talking to in order to get the money for the thing. Just like any business that somebody is working at the store, he has the authority to work it out with whoever is buying from him to get the money. You know, sometimes they give a sale. That person in the store has that particular right. But that's all documented and clarified between him and the person who authorized him. Continue. Commitments of the representative.
The authorized person is accountable, but he is not liable for things that are lost or damaged with him, as long as he does not neglect or exceed limits with regard to such items.
Okay, this happens in most businesses, especially like in medical, you know, malfeasis. Okay, this the mals and the misfeasis, and same thing is with lawyers and things like that. When anyone has been given in the military, it's the same thing. That when you have done what is expected of you, then you're not to be blamed or held liable. But you are to be held liable if you did something that is reasonably wrong according to everyone in that field. Okay? So you get my point? If you did a clearly wrong act, you took the glass china and put it on the floor, and on top of it, you put a box of weights. And the glass china, of course, is going to break. No, that's a problem. You should know the fragile things don't go on the bottom and the heavy things go on the top. But if you put the fragile things on the top, yes, and you put them in the shop on their shelves appropriately and they fall down and break, you know, that's not, you're not liable because you did what you was supposed to be done. This is what that's referring to. Okay? As long as he does neglect or exceed the limits. You had to go to the bathroom. You didn't lock the store. You left the store open and you went to the back room and went to the bathroom. Someone came in and stole the stuff. You exceeded the limits. Does that make sense? So there are, again, reasonable expectations. And those expectations are field or skill based. No, no, I said like skill based. Field based, meaning each skill set has its people who know what to expect in that particular field. Does that make sense what I'm saying?
Yes, yes, sir.
All right, continue. Finish this up.
However, if he neglects, exceeds limits, or refuses without any legal excuse to pay the money due for the authorizer, he is to be liable for what is lost or damaged and legally obliged to pay any money due to the authorizer. The authorized person is to be trusted with regard to the designated work, whether it is selling, renting, or the like. In other words, what he says about the price, the rent, or the damaged articles is to be trusted and believed, and Allah knows best.
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. We've had a very good class today. Okay, I'd like you to stop the recording. I have something to say.